listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One. A winter weather advisory is an invitation to own the roads in the Dodge Charger, America's only four-door muscle car with all-wheel drive. To take the winter by storm in a Dodge Durango, the most powerful SUV with all-wheel drive in its class. And to burn some rubber and melt the snow in the Dodge Challenger, the first all-wheel drive muscle coupe. Don't miss the Dodge President's Day event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle Segment. Based on Ward's Middle Specialty Vehicle Segment. Excludes other FCA US LLC vehicles. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hey, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, with Bill Goldberg calling in. How are you, buddy?
Ho, ho, ho. I'm doing great, dude. I'm doing awesome. I still smell like methane. I'm awesome.
Hey, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that. A little bit of change up in the schedule for today. But first, I'm going to tell you about Dodge. Hurry into the Dodge President's Day event for a great deal on the Dodge all-wheel drive lineup. And, of course, Geico for good car insurance. Check it out, geico.com and Zybar. CarCast, as you know, is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin, high-temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. So put Zybar on, take heat off. You can learn more at zycoat.com. All right, so we had it kind of scheduled for our friend Leah Pritchett, drag racer, to come into the studio today, and as we're recording this, it's a Monday, and the races out in Pomona are going on. Winter Nationals kicking off a new season, and they got rained out yesterday, so it's delayed. So they're racing today.
I'm very disappointed in her. I thought she would have put her foot down, told them just to go to hell and wait until she gets done with CarCast.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I got a text late last night. Hey, sorry, can't come in. We've got a race tomorrow. And I was like, what?
Come on, you can swing it. It's just some race where you're going like, you know, 350 or...
Yeah, 330 something at least, yeah. So hopefully they're all having fun out there. I just got a message from my buddy Jeg. Jeg got knocked out this morning in his round by his teammate. So a little bittersweet, I guess. I know he always likes to win. He's a good guy. We like the guys at Jeg. So hopefully everybody's out there having fun, being safe, and hopefully it's dry enough to run. I guess they drag that thing like the big hair dryer that they kind of dry the track out a little bit. But
I don't know much about hair products or hair dryers. But yeah,
that's right. You've been out of the loop on that for a while.
The hair dryer on it.
You've been out of the loop on that for a while. Tell us, you went out to the races this weekend. You went on Saturday where it wasn't really raining, right?
Well, it was raining on the way up, and it was raining as we left, but, you know, these wonderful periodic thunderstorms or downpours that we have here in California are wonderful for the grounds and the grass, but not for driving, and certainly not for NHRA event. But we were lucky, man. We got up there around, 10 o'clock in the morning, spent a couple hours there. Got in the car about 15 minutes after we headed south. It started raining again, so I can only imagine what they're dealing with.
Yeah, tell us how'd it go. What was the day like? Where'd you guys start off? I'm sure you went and saw a couple friends of ours and watched some racing and stuff.
I saw all the usual suspects. Fortunately, Mr. Prudhomme was one of the first guys I saw there, and Mr. Force. Mm-hmm. And then, stopped into Mr. Ron Capps and then Cruz Pedregon and Leah and Matt and, you know, all the Dodge boys and girls. And, I had to go down. It's a little bit of fun. Took G-Man down and tried to blow his eardrums out again.
Yeah.
And, it's cool because these kids get a little older and you see them mold as little humans. And he's really taken a liking to it much more so than I thought. So as a father, I'm greatly appreciative that I can pass it down to my son. But he had an absolute blast.
It's something I was having a conversation the other day with somebody where somebody was like, they're like, do you like basketball? And I was like, not really. They're like, oh, so you'd never go to a basketball game? I said, well, sure I would, because going to live events is different than just like watching it on TV or being a fan of something. It's just like, you know, going to a live event could be fun, even if you're not like super into that thing that you're watching. Like, you know, I'm not a huge basketball fan. I've watched some. I played some back in the day, back when height wasn't an issue. and going to an event is fun to do. And I would say NHRA drag racing is definitely one of those car events you have to put on your schedule. You have to go to one of these events, at least see it once. It is so intense. Like, you think it's loud, you have no idea. The sound pressure, if you're sitting in the grandstands near the starting line, the sound pressure pushes all over your body, your eyes, your face, your chest. Like, it's such a visceral experience that you really have to check it out. Like, you go there with earplugs, and when those cars run, you're covering your ears and jamming the earplugs into your ear holes because it is so intense, right? It's definitely you have to see it live.
That was a great explanation. But at the end of the day, here we go, number one, there are a lot of people who wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night caring about how many followers they have. I'm not saying this because I want more followers, but look at the last post that I did on my personal account. Mm-hmm. And when you see the camera shaking when those two cars take off, that is the feeling that you can try to eloquate to people, but you can never do it justice. You have to be there in person to feel that. It is, and you don't have to be as close as I was to the starting line by any means, but to see and, or most importantly, feel what these cars are like, you have got to go to an NHRA event. NHRA event, it is a must.
You do. I've been down there as well. I've been down to the starting line. I think it was Jed Coughlin Jr. He and his team invited me down, and it's intense. It's insane. I mean, you're right. You don't need to stand on the starting line. You can stand half track and still feel it, because those cars are full throttle and you can feel it off the sides of the track. Just sitting in the grandstands, like it's pretty intense. And it's also what makes it a great event is all the teams, they pit just in like the vendor booth area, if you will. Like all the teams are just sort of lined up, and you can walk up on them. There's, you know, a little bit of a rope basically hanging there, and you can see them thrash on their car the limited time that they have in between sessions, and you kind of have to get out of the way when they're bringing those things into the pits. Either they're pushing them or dragging them, like with the ATV or whatever they've got going on. And you know, if you're a fan of the racing, you're gonna see the drivers. You're gonna wave to the drivers. You're probably gonna shake a hand or two, maybe get an autograph. They're very personable, and the way it's set up, you're very much allowed to sort of like get up on the cars and check out the pits.
It's very fan friendly, you know, like NASCAR. Getting the ability to go out to reach out and literally touch your favorite driver is not, it will definitely happen at one of those events, and it's one of the reasons why people love them so much, is because it is, you know, that personal. It's a mm-hmm. lot of fun, man. But if you do not like loud noises, do not go to an NHRA event.
I mean, you got to double up. You got to get the little foam earplugs and then the headphones, and then you got to squish your hands on your ears, and that'll pretty much make it. You'll hear it, but yeah. It'll make it a little more tolerable as far as if you've got really sensitive hearing. I don't know if you had a chance to chat with anybody over there about some of the changes going into this year. The two big news, or fairly big news, that I came across was, one, that Courtney Force is basically retiring, and Tony Schumacher, after 19 years with U.S. Army sponsorship, They did not renew their deal, and I don't think he raced at all because they were unable to get another sponsor.
So, yeah, he was up in the skybox when Gage and I were up there.
Yeah,
didn't look real happy.
No,
to say the least.
No,
but I can't comment anything more on that. But yeah, he was a civilian this weekend.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you guys had a chance to chat a little bit about it or not, but I'm sure it's not something he really wanted to get into right now. But yeah, this is he's a multi-time, I don't know, 8-time champion. I want to if I got that right. I don't have notes in front of me. I'm just kind of going off the fly. He's an 8-time champion. He's been with U.S. Army for 19 years. It's kind of interesting to me. Like, I get sponsorships, deals are hard to come by, and especially in a sport like this. Yeah, Chris is saying 8-time championship. Why wouldn't there be some other sponsor almost waiting in the wings to back somebody like him? This is not a startup team. This is a well-funded, well-historied team that and a hell of a driver. So it seems like if anybody's going to put some money in, there's a guy you can put some money behind. So it was interesting.
Well, you
that
could,
he was
as a startup, you could hang your hat on a proven guy too. But those questions or statements lead me to ask Chris a question, and he can probably find it much quicker than myself. But I remember the days when I was told that a one-car NASCAR team was, over $20 million to run for the year. I'm curious to see what Top Fuel is. Funny Car is. For one car for a year. Just really curious.
Yeah. So
how that compares.
I do have a little bit of insight on that. I used to date Melanie Troxel.
Here we go.
I used to date Melanie Troxel, who is a fantastic woman, such a sweetheart and such a competitor. And she's raced, everything out there, Pro Stock, Top Fuel, Funny Car, everything like that. And we had some conversations about racing and stuff like that, and even reviewed some sponsorship proposals and stuff. And I want to say that, not a Force team, not a Schumacher team, but a good team with some money behind it and whatnot. I would say you're spending about $2.5 million to get a car out there for one season, and that's if it doesn't break much.
Well, that seems like a bargain to do that. $2.5 million, hang your hat on a Schumacher.
Yeah.
And put yourself out there front and center. To me, that's I don't have an extra $2.5 million just sitting here.
Right. And if I had to guess, if somebody was going to come into the Schumacher team and back Tony and put something together, I'd say it's probably about a $4 million venture. I couldn't say for sure, but I just don't know that you can get out there for less than about $2.5 million. If nothing happens to your car at all, and you're doing well, it's maybe $2 million. But I mean, the fuel alone costs a lot of money. I mean, it's a big deal to go out there, and they're doing steps to try to make it more affordable, but. We talked about in the past, like I've had these conversations in the past with some of the drivers, and like what happened to the days of the big smoky burnouts and the showmanship and the Chi-Town hustler and things like that. And they're like, we can't do it because it's too expensive. When you do the big smoky burnouts, you burn up the clutch and we have to go through those clutches more. It's just like and more fuel and like just to make racing more affordable these days, they just can't put on the show from back in the day, back in the Don Prudhomme days that you were talking about.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. I hear you getting in your car.
I am, man. I'm multitasking. I'm here at Auto Armor down in San Diego. We got the Expel guys, nice enough to have me try out their product here. And I'll tell you what, this Auto Armor thing is really cool. It's like three different businesses under one roof. You know how usually people will get a wrap and they'll go, you know, elsewhere for a detailer, and they'll go elsewhere for, you know, maybe vinyl products. But these guys are all under one roof. It's pretty cool, man. It's a one-stop shop. It's 45 minutes from the house, so I don't know how much I'll be here all the time. But as far as a car guy who wants ceramic coating, wants tint, wants a wrap, and then wants his car seriously detailed, man, it seems like a pretty perfect place to go.
Yeah,
but we shall see. I will give you a lot of feedback on this product, because you know I will beat it into the ground.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico real quick. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk, and now you can add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to pick up or drop off anything. If you just go to geico.com, you can be saving 15 minutes, or you could be saving in 15 minutes, you'll be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Bill, talk about beating up cars. We never really got a chance to get your final thoughts on the Raptor that you were test driving.
Dude, as the owner of Under Armour was showing me the product on his Raptor, and you know what? We were talking about it, and he says that people love to come up to him every month or two and say, hey, what kind of new car are you getting? And for the first time, he's not changing the type of car he's getting because he loves this Raptor so much. And I got to tell you, man, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Did you get to tear it up on your property a little bit, or was it?
Well, hell yeah. Well, no question. You know, there's no doubt that I did that. It's not every day that, you know, people can go in their backyard and kind of go mudding, but yes, I did. I didn't want to get the thing too dirty, but I didn't know exactly what paces they wanted me to put it through. But everything that I did with that truck, man, it was just wanting more. They've done a hell of a job with that vehicle. And then that space, you know, they've cornered the market.
Yeah, they really have. It is, you know, like I said, I drove it out here, and it is pretty... It is fun, and it's one of the more comfortable trucks, I think, because of that suspension needs to absorb that terrain that you were talking about. And
you should open that up to more comfortable, one of the most comfortable vehicles, can't you?
Yeah,
because I mean that thing drives like a really just like an unbelievably comfortable car. It's you know. What drives better than that? I mean, it's the ride. Yeah, get a Wraith or something, or you know, a big Bentley or whatever. But I mean, that thing rides. It's on a pillow. It's just awesome. I really don't have anything bad to say about it.
Oh, so that's a good question, though. So, the Range Rover you have or a Raptor?
They're two completely different vehicles for two completely different things. You know,
yeah.
This Range Rover, I love the Range Rover. It's my wife's vehicle. I'm only in it right now because I had to drop the red eye off. But we were talking last night after I drove this to go pick up dinner last night. I got back to the house and I told my wife, I said, there is absolutely no way you miss your Escalade because this Range Rover is a hell of a ride. I mean, this car is beautiful. It's wonderful. I really love it. But it's something completely different than the Raptor. Although there are people in LA that use them for the same thing.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, is a quite different story.
Yeah, it is a little bit different deal. It should be, I'm glad you like the Raptor. I'm impressed with it. I wish I had like a use for it because I like the idea of that truck so much. You know, if I had the space for it and the use for it, you know, it's still kind of one of those things where, like, you know, my mom, my brother, my parents are in Arizona, and I go out there a few times a year. We do the Bear Jackson events and all that stuff, and it could be, maybe I should clean out mom's garage and stick one in there. Just want to go out there a few times a year.
Well, I'm waiting for Dodge to do one. You know, I mean, come on, we gotta get a competitor in that space.
Well,
they're more than worthy, you know that, and they've been rumbling, so we'll see.
Yeah, you know, when we were talking with Alistair, and he was on his way to the Chicago Auto Show, and you know, the big three, you know, automakers are competing with their supersized trucks right now, all the big trucks, the big diesel ones that they have. And yeah, I think Dodge came out with their latest Ram, and it tows 35,000 pounds. And then the next auto show, you know, I think it was Ford, were like, yeah, we do 35,500 pounds. And it's just
so
like,
if you want to pull a battleship, then,
right?
You know, yeah.
Right. If you want to tow this studio, this building we're in, you can do it. And it's amazing how, you know, they can get these trucks kind of ready to go, take them to an auto show, debut them, and whoever's first, the next guy could be like, yeah, let's just recalibrate a little bit. Let's just say it's 35,500. Like, it just seems like I'm not sure that I don't know. I'm not the buyer for that truck, so I don't know how much of a bragging right it is. 35,000, 35,500. Like, I guess it's a press release and it sounds good, but are you really buying it for that, or are you really just going to go buy the nicer truck or the brand you like or some of the features on the wacky tailgates that open upward, sideways, have steps in them, and all this stuff? You know, they keep reinventing the tailgates, I guess. I don't know. Again, it's, you know, it's guys like Alistair that they get to go in and test all of those things and kind of break it down for you and say, you know, what they think are cool features and what aren't. But I don't know, this.
Well, we need to get Alistair on the horn, because I just figured out the only thing I don't like about this Range Rover is you can't easily turn off the navigation, because it's telling me how to get to my house.
Oh, that's interesting. There's probably, I don't know. Just,
see?
Yeah, I hear it back there.
So,
I was like,
if there's a random woman's voice throwing out directions, I'm not trying to be a ventriloquist here today.
Man, so the other thing I want to tell you guys about, this has been a long time coming, is, you know, I had the BMW, the M3 in the shop, and I was getting the suspension work done on it. You know, I was taking off that crappy old coilover suspension that was on it, and our guys from KW Suspension hooked me up with some stuff. I was able to buy some stuff from them, got a nice deal from them on it. Got some Turner Motorsport, hooked me up with some stuff, and yeah, went through, did all the things you're supposed to do on the E46, I believe. We welded on all those plates, all the subframe reinforcement plates, and all the mounting plates and whatever for the suspension. That's all done. Went through the control arms and swapped them out for all the new bushings, the upgraded bushings, urethane, and maybe it's Delrin. I think it's urethane. I'm not sure how it all broke down. And went with KW.
Did you
the
just
very
say broke down?
Yeah, like what I'm saying is, I don't know how it breaks down between.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Probably bad choice of words, but the difference between the different bushings, I don't know which pieces had which. So I went with KW's Variant 3, the double adjustable, and they seem great so far. I've you know, over the weekend, I put about 100 miles onto them, and they feel better. They definitely feel better. I'm going to play around with the adjustments a little bit, and I want to say the ride is a smidge softer, but it's more pleasant significantly. And what I mean by that is the spring rate and the coilovers and stuff, it's like it still has kind of a very sporty ride like it did before. But the quality of the KW suspension is so much better, and it controls the car better. The bumps and stuff you hit don't feel like a harsh bang. You know, it's a little bit smoother overall. So I'm going to play around with the adjustments on it. The one thing I'm trying to figure out is I had a shop install it for me, and I was setting the ride height, and you know, one side is about a quarter inch off on the other. So I went down there and I started, I grabbed the spanner wrench and started raising it, and it made a slight adjustment, but it took a lot of turns to get there. And now the amount of threads on the coil are not the same. Let's call it 3 inches of threads on the driver side and 3.5, almost 4 inches on the passenger side. So I'm starting to think maybe like one of the sides, like the spring isn't seated correctly or something's going on.
You're just fat.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's funny because, you know, everybody says, hey, you should get the car maybe aligned or set your coilovers with a driver in the car. And, you know, I don't weigh that much to begin with, so I don't have to put like a lot of weight in the driver's seat to figure it out. Like, it's not that much of a difference with me in the car, you know, with a couple people in the car, sure. But so I got to figure that out. But anyway, so far, happy with the suspension. But finally, the biggest difference was I swapped out the clutch. And when we took out this clutch, when the car was built, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago, it's a 2001. When I say built, I mean when the engine was built and the supercharger was done, the coilovers were done. The only clutch available was like a Sachs racing clutch. And that thing is just harsh. Back then, it was just harsh. Such a heavy pedal feel. It gripped well, but it was uncomfortable to drive because of how much effort the pedal was. And then it was uncomfortable because it would bite so hard. And it was just like, I remember driving with a friend of mine, and she was like, what's going on with your car? She's like, this thing is kind of all over the place. So I called up the buddies over at Advanced Clutch Technologies. They're out here in Lancaster, I believe. And I said, where are we now with clutch technology? You know, 18 years after this car came out. And, you know, they asked me a bunch of questions. We ran through some of the options, and they came up with a clutch kit, flywheel, really, really nice stuff. And I said, is it going to hold? And they said, yeah, this thing is 40, 50% more clamping force than stock. It's definitely going to handle the supercharger. And I said, what it's going to feel like? And they said, about 10% more pedal effort than the stock M3. And I said, well, I have no idea what the stock M3 feels like. I've been driving this thing for a year. And I got it all in there and been breaking it in a little bit. Like I said, about 100 miles on it. And man, what a night and day difference.
It's how easy is it? How easy is the depression?
The pedal effort now is so much better. It's amazing that we can make clutches with this type of technology now. And there's not a whole lot of innovation that's gone over the years. Just what they've done to just improve pedal feel and clamping force and doing dual disc and things like that we're seeing in some of these cars is impressive. And I drove it here, sitting in traffic this morning, and I didn't even think about it for a minute. I was just, you know, making phone calls and listening to the music and didn't even think about the pedal effort on this thing other than just being impressed. So I'm so glad that's done. Whoever's going to be the next owner of this car one day is going to be so happy that it's done. it's such a huge difference. While I was in there, you know, we changed out the shifter and put a new shifter boot and knob on it. So all the M stuff, lighted shift knob, and the shift knob and the boot are like one piece leather, and it might be out of the newer M5s. I couldn't say for sure. I say
move
newer.
It up.
I say newer, but I mean whatever the last manual transmission version was, 6-speed transmission version was. So I tell you, it was such a huge difference. I couldn't be happier with it. Now I tell you, if you want to keep the miles low on your car, put a terrible heavy racing clutch in there, because this car, like it says, 2001, it has 24,000 miles on it. Because nobody wanted to drive.
That's one thing. Either that, or just put drag radials on the back,
and then wait for rain.
Drive it half the time.
Yeah, put drag radials on there in a rainy season and see what happens.
You'll drive it once.
Yeah. So you've got some more stuff coming up. We're going to get into that as well. First, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Zycoat. The guys at Zycoat, they make Zybar that we've been telling you about. You know, there's many engines. They place hot components like exhaust manifolds close to the air intakes to plug wires, carburetors, brake and power steering lines, and heat is the enemy of speed. We all know that. It robs power, robs your speed. Before, the only options were wraps, tapes, or ceramics, and now there's Zybar. It's a DIY high-temp coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Their resin-based polymer formula withstands temperatures in excess of the engine environment, and it costs about a third of ceramic coating, which is fantastic. There's a single application of Zybar to your manifold, exhaust system, or headers will control heat, resulting in higher horsepower and torque. Now, we're going to have the guy, Tim. He's going to come back into the studio with us at some point, maybe later this week on the next CarCast, and he's going to tell us about a new product, some stuff that they got going on. But for now, check this out. CarCast listeners can receive a 15% discount plus free shipping on all online orders. Just use promo code CARCAST when you purchase at Zycoat.com and get a 15% discount and free shipping. So Zycoat.com. The product is Zybar. Check those guys out. So you were hustling back and forth all of last week doing NCIS. Again, follow Goldberg on social media. You guys know where he is. Lots of good Instagram stuff. So check out Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage. You can see NHRA videos. You can see Goldberg and G-Man at the races. And you can see you guys taking some little BTS scenes, some behind the scenes shots of NCIS Los Angeles. Plus,
yeah, man,
they got a Hellcat out there.
My second appearance there, and day by day, my relationship with Dodge gets stronger and stronger. And yes, now Sam, a la LL, is driving a Hellcat Challenger on the show.
Nice.
And I was surprised it wasn't a wide body. We'll see what we can do about that. But yeah, it was pretty bitching to show up and have that thing out there, and to drive, you know, the red eye up there one day. And yeah, it's all good, man. I'm always greatly appreciative to be on these shows. But the guys and girls at NCIS in front and behind of the camera, they're just absolutely awesome. I mean, let's just be honest. I'm not a thespian by any stretch of the imagination. But they make you feel comfortable and like, you know, and so it reduces the stress level. And so you can go out and give the best performance. And, you know, I only got to kill a couple guys on this episode, so I was a little pissed off. But, you know, at least they got me doing something physical now. And Department of Justice investigator Lance Hamilton has made his second appearance on the show, and hopefully there'll be more to come.
It seems like a fun thing to do. The last episode you did was fun. It was great to see you on there. I'm curious of the cast that's on that show. They've been doing that for a while. Who's the car guy? Is there a car guy or a girl out of that group?
Yeah, I mean, LL's a car guy, you know, for sure. Most of, you know, the writers are car guys for sure. Everybody there is a car guy and car girl. It's just to the extent. I'd say LL's the biggest. One of the writers is definitely a car guy. He and I are going back and forth about his G-Wagon, and thank God I didn't have to buy Wanda one. But yeah, for the most part, they're all enthralled with the vehicles and ask me to bring a different Dodge up every day, which
that's not
really
hard to
cool,
do. Yeah, that's not hard to do at all. Well, do we know how long it takes from filming before those episodes air? Do we have some idea?
Well, if it's the Goldbergs, and I've done two of those episodes since we've spoken last. That's a quick turnaround. The NCIS thing, I think it's 2 to 3 months, but it's something that, you know, people will, if they follow me on social media, I'll be able to get a heads up and throw some out there. They've got me some nice video behind the scenes that they're packaging together, and so I can put them out there soon. And just keep abreast, because we got lots of cool news on the forefront.
Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing this weekend? Can you tease that
I'm increasing my resume of characters that I have played throughout the years, whether it be a professional football player or a convict or a professional wrestler or a Unisol or whatever it may be, or a coach. Now I get to be mayor. So that's kind of all I can say about that one, but it is a Dodge. I've signed on to do some more with Dodge, and I'm greatly appreciative of that opportunity, and I do believe that they couldn't have found a better bald guy to represent their product than me. And actually, I'm sorry to rag on your inability to be above 6 feet, but you know, when you got somebody that's repping your product that's a little tiny short guy that has to stand on an apple box on movies to look like he's big,
yeah,
not the right guy. That's not the right guy.
Not the right guy.
I do believe they have found the guy to properly represent their product, and so hopefully we got some really badass stuff on the horizon. I know they do. Hopefully they'll involve me with it, but you know, it just gets me closer and closer to that dream car, the wide body Charger, man. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I do this stuff.
You know,
That's it.
You know, we obviously love Dodge. They support the show. They buy some ads and stuff on the show, but to give you guys some insight of like how this came to be was you and I had been talking about doing this show for a while. And when we launched it in March, we sort of set out with some goals and a plan and what we wanted and things like that. And you know, I saw the cars you were getting and I said, well, let's talk about them and let's make the show, you know, sure, about the news and what's going on in the car world and racing, and have Edmunds come in and tell us, you know, that stuff. But it should be a little bit about what we're doing as well and the car projects that we have and what we like. And there's no secret that I love Ford. There's no secret that you love Dodge. And that's fine. So a lot of this Dodge talk has come from, and my Ford talk as well, has come from what we love to do. So, you know, you guys got to have to, like, everybody that's listening kind of have to, like, be a little bit patient. Is we are so excited about this. We're excited about is we launched a show in March, and now you're doing Dodge commercials, and of course you're having more fun with your cars and being able to share these experiences. But who knows? Like you were saying, you know, you wouldn't think to be driving a Ford Raptor for a week to see how it is, and you did. And those are the experiences that we love, that we want to talk about with you guys. So and then those of you who are listening, we want to hear those experiences from you as well. What do you like? What do you drive? So,
and it truly, truly does separate us from a lot of the other people out there, because we don't just talk about it. We live it. You know, we experience it from day to day, second to second. And it's not something that we get paid to talk about, though we do from time to time get paid to talk about it. But the things that we talk about are not forced by any stretch of the imagination. And in the automobile world and in this industry, you know, you can tell somebody, you can identify a fake quite easily and quite quickly. And
yeah.
We're the furthest thing from it. And hey, I just wish that I wouldn't have to have bought 6 Dodges to get a commercial.
I was just going to say,
between
you and I, we have spent way more money on cars and car stuff than we've ever going to get paid for doing any ads or live shows or anything. Like it offsets a little bit, which is nice, but nowhere near, you know,
close. But here's the caveat. The caveat is both you and I are fine. I mean, I know I am, because it's what I love to do, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And I'm extremely lucky, as are you, that we know what we like and we can live it and we can breathe it and we can experience it. And every day, I was telling somebody about it yesterday. How do you figure out what car you're going to drive? Well, it's just completely dependent upon the weather, where I'm going, and what I want to accomplish. And to be able to make those decisions and be in a position to make those decisions, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world. And don't think for a second that I don't realize that. But if I didn't have a sponsor, if I didn't have an affiliation with any car company, we didn't have this podcast, I'd be talking about the same thing every day.
Right. And you and I have been talking about it for
years. Yeah, it's ingrained in our hearts, man. It's what we do. It's what we love.
You absolutely. And we want to hear that from you guys as well. So you can always email us at carcastshow@gmail.com. But another way is to show us, and this brings up our 10th year anniversary of CarCast. We're having a huge car show event at the Peterson Museum here in LA. It is Sunday, March 10th. You can go and get tickets at adamcarolla.com, or you can go to peterson.org. You can get tickets to the event. There's a handful of events. Maybe Chris has a little more detail on this, but I'm gonna take a shot at it. There is a car show from 2 to 4, and everyone's invited. I think it's like $35 to bring a car in there, or $20 if you just want to be a spectator. But bring us your car. Every car I want to see, big, small, trucks, electric, gas powered, diesel, anything you guys want to do, bring. I want to see it out there. This doesn't have to be the best of the best. I want to see what you guys, the listeners, drive. We're gonna,
and I'll throw $100 out there for anybody who brings a Pinto.
I think Bo Bachman bought the Galpin Pinto. That was a racing car back in the day, and he was so excited about that. Could you bring that up? I want everything out there. We're going to be judging cars. We're going to be handing out awards. There's going to be a People's Choice award for the cars as well. They're all going to get voted on the way in. Hopefully, we're locking down the schedule. Hopefully, Goldberg, you're going to be there with something cool. Bring something up. I think I'm going to bring the M3. I'm on the fence if I bring the Mustang out there. Obviously, it doesn't run. But it looks good, and it rolls around. I know it's been on the lift for years, so maybe it's time to get it off the lift for like a weekend. I'm just afraid that if I move it off the lift and bring it to the car show, Adam's going to put something on the lift real quick, and then I'll be stuck. So we'll see about that. But Jay Leno said he's coming out and he's bringing a car. Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers is coming out, and he's bringing a car. Our buddy Chris Jacobs from Motor Trend TV and Discovery and all the Barrett Jackson auctions, and he's got shows all over the place. He's a Mopar guy. He said he's bringing a car, so we'd love to see Chris Jacobs come out there. He's such a good dude. And I just found out that my co-host, Brad Fanshawe from Shift and Steer, he's coming out, and he's bringing a car, and he's bringing his business partner, Michael Anthony, from Van Halen and the Circle. And I think Michael just bought a Mercedes AMG GT, and I think he's got it all done like a satin black. It's going to be kind of menacing, and he may be bringing that. I hope Brad brings something out of his older muscle car collection, maybe his El Camino or maybe his Baldwin Motion Vega or something like that. I want him to bring something cool, so... I gave him the heads up last week, and I said, start working, start tooling away, changing the oil, do what you got to do. So this should be a good event. So there's the car show that's 2 to 4. After that, there's a screening of Uppity, the Willie T. Ribs documentary. You can get a separate ticket to that. And then at night, there is a Adam Carolla show, which is also a 10-year anniversary celebration. And Adam's guest, I believe, is going to be Jimmy Kimmel. Does that sound right?
Yep, it is Jimmy.
Okay. Do we know if the screening or ACS are sold out yet?
I believe the podcast is sold out.
All right. So you might be able to, you can get the screening, but check. Check now, because as we're recording this, you're going to hear this on Wednesday as you're listening to this. There might be a few tickets left for the car show, definitely, because we can fit a lot more people. The screening is limited to a few hundred people, and the Adam Carolla show is limited to a few hundred people. So hopefully we'll see you guys out there as well. Before we wrap up, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about Dodge. Don't spend this winter shoveling snow when you can be out there shredding it. With the Dodge all-wheel drive lineup, hurry into the Dodge President's Day event for a great deal. All right. Let's see if there's anything else going on. We're kind of running out of time now.
When you go to the pump and you see those people park and they realize that they have parked on the wrong side because the gas that's me. I just did that in the Range Rover. So, hey, I'm not above stupid shit like that, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Now we know what all that shuffling around is. Stopping to get gas.
Now we know.
All right, guys, check us out on social media. Of course, at carcastshow.com, we have everything up there. We love a good review and a rating up on iTunes. Tell a friend. You can follow me at Motorator everywhere. You can follow Goldberg. He's Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. That's your best place to go find the latest and greatest of what he is doing. That's it. Check out the CarCast show at the Peterson Museum March 10th. I really hope to see you guys out there. It's going to be fun. This is 10 years in the making. We've never done a car event. I would say I don't know why, but probably because we're podcasters and not car show people. But that's it. So until next time, for Chris in the studio and Goldberg filling up gas and myself, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
I'm keeping it real. Don't forget that.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.